And not one of them said he put on my heart. This song right here, I haven't sung it in years, but it's got such an awesome message. And just bear with us, we've never sung together before other than up here, so.
And he's going to have to start it out because it's been a while since I've talked about this myself.
I think the Lord put me up here to take and say this other than it was to sing, because I tell you, sometimes it was taken just to bless you just by reading the words of these songs. I mean, you read the words and He'll just bless you just by listening to what He says. And no matter how it sounded to you, it sounded perfect to Him. So God bless each and every one of you, and we need to pray for our country. Awesome, and we need to pray for it.
Michael, get my wireless mic going. If you would, be turning to Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Haggai, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Just before you get to Malachi and Matthew there, if you start thumbing through, you'll hit Haggai right before Zechariah. Haggai 2, 3. Now, we're talking about the judgment of God. We started a series last week on it, and or actually week before last on that, and we're talking about the church. We started with the church because we said that the judgment must begin at the house of God, right? It's got to start with us. We can't start pointing our fingers at other people before we look at ourselves inwardly, find out what we're doing wrong, amen, and then go out. Because a lot of problems we see that we face today is because the church did not stand up. The church rolled over and didn't take a stand, amen, and kind of went along with the world. And that's why we're in the shape we're in America today, is because the church is just laid dormant, docile, doing nothing, amen. If you would please stand in honor of God's word, Haggai 2:3 says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for those that are in attendance. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service, Father, and on your servant. Help me to not say anything that's not your word, Father. Help me to propagate your word correctly this morning. Bind the hands of demonic forces, Father. Build a hedge around this church. And Lord, just help everybody to be attentive for the next 20 to 25 minutes. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we showed last time we went through this how the church had dropped the ball. The church has dropped the ball spiritually. We got Christians today that they look more like the world than they do the church. Amen. And they're not moving along with the church. The church is not progressing Jesus Christ. We're progressing the world's agenda. Amen. And that's not the way God said it to be. But look at Haggai 2:3 again. And it tells us what we need to do. It says there, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" We need to get back to the former glory of the church. Yeah. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jeff? Well, it used to be that the church would be to where Jesus would shine in the community. People would know. I mean, people respected the church. They honored the church. You wouldn't have people that would walk through, even come through the churchyard and even spit or anything like that. Why? Because they honored the Lord so much, even lost people. But because the church has went along with the world, the church has lost its former glory. And now people don't respect the Lord anymore. Why? Because God's people are not representing Him well. Amen. Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And what we've done as a church and as born-again Bible believers that are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, we've taken our foundations and we've said, these are old, and we don't need these anymore. We need something new.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. It says in Isaiah 58:12, it says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restore of the paths to dwell in." Listen, we need to restore the paths and repair the breaches.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Listen, the church is cracked, it's falling apart, and the reason is because we have not stood for Jesus Christ. Amen. We haven't done it. And listen, we don't have to go down the contemporary road and the worldly road in the church like all the other churches are doing to build a congregation. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is growing us, and we're growing it based on outreach, reaching out the community, and on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that formula still works, I promise you. Amen?
Yes.
Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Listen, the good way is the old way.
Amen.
Amen. There are some things that don't need to be changed and updated. Amen. I want to tell you, they still work. Amen. Acts 17:20 says, "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new."
Yeah.
The Athenians, Paul had went to them, they'd went there, and they said, "Tell us something new. We're always wanting to hear something new."
Uh-huh.
Listen, folks, there are some things, Virginia, that don't need to be updated.
That's right, brother.
And one of them is the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Word of God does not change. And today, everybody wants a new Bible, a new version. And the reason they want to get away from the Word of God and get to these newer versions is because they've watered down the Word.
Yeah.
They've taken out harsh words, right?
Yes.
Convicting words.
Yeah.
And they've made it more soft.
Yeah.
More conformative, amen? And that's not the way the Word of God was meant to be, amen? Ezra 3:12 says, "But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice." Listen, there are people sitting here today, no doubt, that can see the difference in the church from when they were little kids. From when they were in their 20s. I mean, it used to be, folks, that people would shout, get excited, praise God, run the aisles, be excited about the blood of Jesus Christ and about their salvation.
Yes, amen.
But we don't see that anymore, do we? We don't see that. The church has changed, amen? I mean, I remember the day, and I'm sure you do too, when people got saved, and you knew they got saved. Because there was a change, Sister Stacy. There was a change. All of a sudden, they wanted to be around people of God. They wanted to be in the house of God. Amen? But now people say they're saved, and you might see them once or twice a month in the church. And they say, and they never shout when they come in. It's like they can't stand being here. got their arms crossed, amen, frown on their face, amen. Listen, folks, that's not the salvation, Brother Michael, that my Bible teaches, amen. There should be a change. You say, well, what do we do, Brother Jeff? Well, in Haggai 2:4, we see what God tells us to do. It says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you. God gives us two instructions. You say, Brother Jeff, I just feel defeated. I just feel like nothing we say is being looked at. People are mocking us. People are laughing at us. People don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Well, God gives us two instructions. He says, be strong and work, amen. And let me say this. You don't have it near as bad as you think you do, amen. I mean, we today think, oh, I can't tell anybody about Jesus, oh, I'll get persecution. Really? Listen, folks, do you realize the only persecution you're going to get is somebody maybe smarting back at you or mouthing back at you? I mean, let's look at Paul. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Paul was going from city to city proclaiming Jesus Christ, and he called it light affliction. Now let me read you his light affliction. It says here, I'm more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times, guys, he was preaching the gospel. He was taken and strapped to a post. They took a cat of nine tails that has metal in it and all kinds of glass and broken bone, things like that, and they would strap them and it would literally tear flesh off their body.
That's right.
And if they gave him more than 39 lashes, they were probably going to die.
Yeah.
So he had 39 lashes 5 times. Listen, I want to tell you, most Christians, you can take them outside and you can say something to them and they'll never be back in church again.
You're right.
What in the world would happen if they took us outside and started beating us for what we believe and what we preach?
Yeah.
Well, this church would be empty probably, wouldn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's getting quiet. All right, I better get off that one. It says, thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day had been sleep, in perils of waters, on and on it goes. Countrymen, heathen. I mean, talk about all these people that are beating him and fighting with him and getting with him. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. Paul had it rough.
Yeah.
They didn't go and say, well, nobody likes me, I'm going home, right? Listen, folks, we've had people leave this church. Honestly, people leave the church because somebody didn't shake their hand.
Right.
They didn't shake my hand, Brother Jeff. I just hurt my feelings. I just can't come back.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't talk to me, Brother Jeff. I said hi to them. They didn't say anything. That just broke my heart. I just can't be back, right? Listen, folks, we need to be tougher Christians, amen? We need to be tougher. I mean, let me ask you a question. Is anyone here going through what Paul went through? No! Nobody in this building has been through what Paul went through. So listen, I don't want to hear it that we can't witness and tell others about Jesus. Amen. We find in Luke 12:47 it says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much more be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will ask the more. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. A lot of us Christians are heading for a whipping. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jeff? Well, let me tell you something. Much is required of us in America. Because we have it easier than any other Christians that have ever lived. We don't have to fear being shot and beaten and thrown in jail for telling people about Jesus and handing out tracts, yet we don't do it. Listen, don't you know that Paul would have loved to have the conditions and the environment that we have in America today, right?
Amen.
We are going to be given answer for what we've done, amen. Yeah. We are.
That's right.
Haggai 2:5 says, according to thy word that I covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear not. I mean, Egypt's the type of the world, we all know that, and Christians are called out of the world. We find in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Listen, we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Amen.
And we need to understand that, folks. I hear many of you, Brother Michael was talking in the men's breakfast, and I know Brother Dontrell talked to me and others, but you talk about the people you have to work around. and how they blaspheme God, and you got to listen to their music, and you got to listen to them curse, and all these other things. What do, Brother Jeff? Well, you understand that you are in the world, but you're not of the world. And you be a light, you stand for Jesus Christ, and listen, I promise you, those people will take notice, whether you realize it or not, amen. They will take notice. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Listen, folks, you are strangers in this world.
Amen.
You're just passing through. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. Boy, I got two cups. Amen, brother. You're deacon of the month, brother. Deacon of the month, I say. I'll have your certificate tonight, amen, brother. Amen. But listen, the Bible says we're strangers.
Yeah.
We're pilgrims. We shouldn't fit in here, guys.
Amen.
Amen. And let me say this, if you do fit in, you're not walking for Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Period, amen. You're not doing it. We're just passing through.
Yes.
The Bible tells us, I won't read all the scriptures I have here for the sake of time, but I want to read a few to you. It says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. 1 John 4:6 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Amen. We find over in John 14:16, and I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. We know He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. But listen, we can move forward in this wicked world as pilgrims and strangers. Why? Because we have the Word, and we have the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We have the Word, and we have the Spirit of God. Amen? The truth and the Spirit go hand in hand.
Yes.
You can't have one without the other, amen? You can't.
Yes.
Listen, folks, you can't have the Spirit over here and be worshiping outside of truth. Because the Spirit's not going to condone that. You can't have the truth over here and leave the Spirit on the outside. Jesus on the outside, it's not going to work, amen?
Yes.
Now in Haggai 2:6, drop it on down Haggai there. It says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. Now get this, because this is taught wrong by a lot of people. And the desire of all nations shall come. Now many will preach and say, oh, well, the desire of all nations is Jesus. Mm-mm. No, our desire is Jesus. But the nations could care less about Jesus Christ. What do the nations desire? All the nations, even our United Nations, they're always pushing for peace, aren't they? We want peace. We want peace. And even the communists, I mean, even they want peace in their own way. They want peace under their government, right? And with them controlling everything. Right? But that's the desire of the nations. And that's never going to happen. The nations of the world want one thing, and that's peace. We desire Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up to me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing.
Yes.
We look for Him. We desire Him. But the world doesn't. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Amen.
Listen, folks, and that's a good telltale. That's a good sign to find out if you truly are saved, you're truly born again, you're going to heaven. Because listen, if you're saved and you're born again, the things that God hates, the things that makes God mad, those are the things that's going to upset you too.
Yeah.
If you claim to be a Christian and you're for all the things the world is for and all the things that are plainly against Scripture, you might want to check up and make sure you're born again, amen? Because there should be things that bother you. Before I was saved, Brother David, I was with the world. And I couldn't understand these Christians, and well, I can't believe they're against this and against that. But after I got saved, something happened.
Amen.
I became a new creature, and I had my eyes open, and I thought, that's wrong. That's evil, amen.
That's right.
Not because I was holier than thou, because we're all sinners, amen.
Amen.
But the Bible says very clear that we're to be fruit inspectors, amen.
Yeah.
That we're to discern. The Bible commands us to discern between good and evil.
Right.
We have to make those judgment calls, amen.
Right.
We have to do that.
Yes.
We find over in John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, folks, let me tell you something. The only thing in this world that's ever going to bring peace is Jesus.
Amen.
It's never going to happen. Listen, everybody preaches says, oh yeah, all the worlds can come together in the governments and we're going to be one. No, not going to happen. Not until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
He's the only one that's going to bring peace.
Yes.
Tonight, I hope you're here tonight, we're going to discuss judgment as it relates to Israel. And what God says about how you treat Israel and His judgment and how it falls on nations that come against Him. And we're going to show you where this conflict between the Arabs or the Muslims and the Jews come from. I mean, why do we have this radical Islam? Where does that come from? Well, it comes from Genesis. It goes all the way back to Genesis. And I'm going to break it down for you and I'm going to show you. But listen, I want to tell you something. Israel, that's God's people. And the Bible's very clear, we better not mess with him.
Right.
And the moment that America stops supporting Israel and comes against them, we're in trouble, folks.
Yes.
We're in deep trouble.
Yes.
Now Haggai 2:12 says this, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch ye and thee, shall it be unclean? The priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. I mean, the Bible over and over again, the New Testament, Old Testament, it says that Christians need to stay away from that which is unclean.
That's right.
But listen, folks, judgment of God falls because the Christians cannot keep their hand off that which is unclean.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, why is it that you see Christians born again saved, right? Going into movies that you know take the Lord's name in vain. And have sexual sins.
Yeah.
Have sex from just all over the screen. And not only are they going in, but they're taking their kids in to see it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that God is pleased with that. Amen.
Right.
And it doesn't stop there. It starts with our television too. Old Bird Jeff don't get on our TVs. Listen, folks. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And we as Christians don't need to be setting wicked things before our kids and before our eyes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We don't need to do that.
Yes.
Psalm 50:17 says, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. And that's the attitude of many Christians. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm talking to Christians.
Yeah.
Is that we hate instruction. We hate for the preacher to get up and preach the Word of God and tell us and hit on our toes and go, I'm doing that, but I'm mad at the preacher. He shouldn't have preached on that, right? No, folks, we need to take the Word of God and change our lives, amen? John 3:20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Listen, folks, that's why many people change churches a lot. They hop from church to church because they're looking for somebody to give them a license to sin. They want a license to where the preacher doesn't preach against a specific sin, amen?
Yeah.
And we can't do that. See, people hate to be told that what they are doing is wrong. They hate that.
That's right.
They don't like that. Amen?
Amen.
Job 24:13 says, they are of those that rebel against the light. They rebel against the light. Proverbs 5:12 says, and say, how have they hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Amos 5:10 says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. Who was that? That was the preacher that would stand in the gate because they didn't have churches back then. And he would stand and say, God's judgment's going to fall. You need to beware.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. People don't want to hear God's judgment today.
That's right.
They don't want to hear it, amen? Yeah. They don't want to hear about it. But here's my warning to you is don't ignore the warnings of the Lord. Haggai 2:17 says, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Revelation 2:21 says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Revelation 9:20 says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. I mean, we see the Lord gives us ample warning and space and time to repent.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, many of you here sitting here today, maybe you're in sin, the pastor doesn't know about it, the church doesn't know about it, but you know what you're involved in, and the God has been chastising you and giving you a little warning. But listen, he's not going to go very far.
Right.
Before the hammer falls, amen?
Yeah.
You may be here this morning and you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know 100% sure that I'm saved. Brother Jeff, you've said some things this morning that have opened my eyes, right?
Yep.
Don't ignore the warnings of God.
Amen.
You could die at any minute. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you could be in trouble.
Yes.
So I ask this today. Maybe you're a Christian here today. And you'll be glad to know that ends the inward look. Now we're going to start the outward look, and we're going to start with Israel tonight and talk about Israel and how God's judgment will fall on a nation or individual that comes against them. Give you all the scripture to back that up. But let's take time to examine ourselves this morning. If you're a Christian, maybe you're hearing me say, Brother Jeff, I need to get right. Brother Jeff, there's some things in my life that aren't right. Judgment begins with me, and I need to start and get right. I need to do what's right with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Maybe you think you're saved. Maybe you think you're a good person. The Bible says there are none good, no, not one. The Bible says our righteousness, what we do, our works, are as filthy rags. Means nothing to Him. You say, Brother Jeff, even, yes, even me. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
That includes me. And that's why we need a Savior. But you've got to come His way. We can't go any other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
He says, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Jesus has made the way to heaven, which is through His cross, His blood. But you have to call, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to come to Him His way, realize you're a sinner, that's what repentance is, and say, God, forgive me of my sin and save me. And the Bible says He will in no wise cast you out.
That's right.
You need to make sure you're going to heaven this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing. As they get a song ready and play softly on the piano, I think I've said enough here this morning. We're going to let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. It's just if the Lord's knocking on your heart's door and has revealed to you that you need to be saved, that there's been no change in you. You don't see things the way the Bible says. You say, well, I think that's right. I think this is right. No, you need to go with what God says is right and wrong. And if you don't, and you have a problem with hearing that, there's a good chance the Holy Spirit of God does not reside in you. And you need Him to. You need Him to seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise and save you and make you a new creature. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't it time that you became a new creature today and turned your sin over to the Lord? As we always do, we'll sing one verse. Brother David, one verse. If nobody comes, we're done.